And Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the amazing things about the age in which we live in is that we seem to have more information available to us than probably at any other time. Indeed, it is said that we can access more knowledge than at any other time in history, and it just keeps on growing. More information has been produced in the last 30 years than in the previous 5,000. Now, I have no idea how they quantify that, but somebody's obviously done the arithmetic and come up with a guess. It is said that today's information doubles every 4 years. Since the advent of the internet, we have more knowledge at our fingertips than we can possibly process. Actually, it's worse than that, because I get more emails in my inbox than I can possibly process on a reasonable day, let alone the other bits of information. I don't know where they come from. I mean, when I first had an email, I get, 4 emails a week. Now I get about, I go away for an hour and there's about 10 sitting in the box. If I go away for pray for me when I come back after 4 weeks away, they sort of gather around about 200 plus every 10 days, of which the delete key is very useful. Anyway, knowledge and education is available at every turn, but knowledge isn't the same as being wise. In fact, wisdom can be learned rather more simply. Take children, for instance. Patrick, age 10, says, "Never trust a dog to watch your food." Michael, age 14, says, "When your dad is mad and asks, 'Do I look stupid?' don't answer him." Michael is a wise man. He also said, "Never tell your mum her diet's not working." Joel, age 10, says, "Don't pick on your sister when she's holding a baseball bat." And Eileen, age 8, says, "Never try to baptize a cat." So kids say some really amazing things, but there's more to wisdom than this. James's whole letter, which we've been exploring over the past several weeks, is an explanation about the tough things that happen in the life of a follower of Jesus. And now he wants to talk about wisdom. And James's advice is simple, and you find it in chapter 1. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. I just think that's so cool. God generously gives wisdom when we ask, because he just wants to do that. Then in our reading today, James says, if you're wise, now no one do we, wants to appear foolish. We all want to believe we're intelligent. You ask any parent of a small child. They have the most intelligent child. Have you heard it?
Yes.
You've done it yourself, haven't you? Yeah. We want to know that our children grow up to be great people of wisdom and intelligence. And that's a good goal. The Bible agrees. Proverbs says that wisdom is a hidden treasure. But wisdom is not the same as knowledge. General Omar Bradley, a US officer in World War II, once remarked, "The world has achieved brilliance without wisdom." Life choices are the best indicator of wisdom. So James writes, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honourable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. For James, there is a deep contrast between the perceived wisdom of the world and the kind of wisdom God gives and expects us to use. So James sets out to show this contrast by saying, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover the truth up with boasting and lying, which are actually both events of an insecure person. You realize that? If you're on shaky ground, you kind of boost it up, or you'll cover it up in one way or another, or try and come up with an alternative truth. For jealousy and selfishness, he goes on to say, are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. You see, such a life blurs the edges and risks instability and uncertainty. Something just doesn't feel quite right. But real wisdom is a different matter altogether. Listen again to James. But wisdom from above is first of all pure, it is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. Now, we know how to behave, don't we? Especially in public. I mean, that's when we behave best, usually, isn't it? Yes. It's when we're not in public that there's a problem sometimes. I mean, I'm speaking for myself, and you can check with Kay later, but when we're alone or with our friends and at home with our family, actually that's when it counts, really. God does not want us to act holy. He wants us to be holy. Putting on the mask of holiness is a bit shallow, and it won't be long before it starts to break down, because someone will stand on your corns and then the true self will erupt. Is this a stretch too far, perhaps? Perhaps it's beyond our ability to conceive that we could be holy in any sort of way. Well, if you try on your own, it will be impossible. God knows our limits, which is why he has given us the resources of the Holy Spirit to help us and to transform us. It begins with our choice to be a follower of Jesus, who opens us up for all that God will want to give us. And really, that's the thing that we struggle with most. You see, there is this drive in us for independence. We want to do it our own way, thank you very much. And the thing is that the life of faith is calling us to let go of ourselves, to abandon ourselves to God and trust him. I find that tough, actually. I really struggle with that sometimes, because it's a bit scary to kind of really lean into God and trust him absolutely for it, because we might think he mightn't come through or something like that. And so we hold on to some bit, we want to make it our own. Wisdom is not only pure, but also peaceable. This peace comes when we have experienced peace with God, as Paul tells us in Romans 5. It is then out of this peace that we can go after peace between people. If you want to be a peacemaker, you need to find peace in yourself. Does that make sense? Otherwise, your hurt and issues will get in the way and feed the conflict that exists. This peace does not come on its own. It's got to be looked for. It has to be pursued. We need to be proactive. We must intentionally avoid arguments by refusing to participate in them. It's very difficult. I don't know whether you've noticed this. I have. To have an argument with one party who refuses to have an argument with you. Yeah. Make peace your God, and then set out to be peacemakers. There is wisdom in that. Peacemaking does not have the attitude of peace by abdication, like the couple who celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary and someone asked the husband the secret of their marital bliss. Well, said the old man, I'm a bit dubious about saying old man, but then, maybe, I know it's only 9 years away, but, I'm not sure about the old man, but anyway, we'll say he was. Well, the old man said, the wife and I have this agreement. When we first got married, it went like this. When she was bothered about something, she'd just tell me and get it off her chest. And if I was mad about something, or mad at her about something, I was able to take a long walk. I suppose you could attribute our happy marriage to the fact that I have largely lived an outdoor life. That is not the reason I go tramping. Kay's welcome to come anytime she chooses. if you have lost your peace, you need to find out why and deal with the issue. And you can be sure that anger and hostility are not inspired by God. And we're not talking about righteous anger. There is a place for anger. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about that emotive self thing that wells up in us because we haven't got our own way or someone stood on our vulnerabilities. For this reason, wisdom is characterized by the will to get along with others and is considerate for others and is gentle. This has a sweet reasonableness about it. Well, that's kind of like what the words sort of suggest. I'm not sure about sweet reasonableness. It sounds a bit tacky to me, but there is a reasonableness, a desire to get along and find the heart of the person with whom you're talking. Actually, it's really interesting. When you discover somebody's heart, often the conflicts diminish. If you don't listen to their heart, or if you know this yourself, someone doesn't listen to the real you and make judgments about you, what happens? You get a bit irritated or hurt. Is that right? So I think that's what's meant here, about actually discovering the heart of the person and checking out with them about what's going on. And it's very often interesting, isn't it, that how sometimes when actually get to the truth of the matter as to why someone's a bit grumpy or bitchy at the time, it's actually about something entirely unrelated to you as a person. But because you happen to be the nearest person around, you cop it, so you think it's you. But you've become part of their crisis, really. And actually some real conversation, so what's going on for you, can transform what's happening. So has this reasonableness and has the ability to extend to others kindly consideration when we would wish to receive ourselves. And it is teachable and has an openness towards others. Proverbs again says, wise people listen to advice, which is why God gave husbands wives, according to Proverbs. Such wisdom is merciful, grace-filled, and full of good deeds. The kind of mercy that is being described here is not just for someone who is in trouble, but it means to be merciful to those who are in trouble, even if the trouble is of their own making. Mercy is not dependent on guilt or innocence. Somehow it's easier to be merciful if we believe that they are suffering unjustly. But God is merciful even though we are guilty. He's asking us to be the same. Now, James uses the word fruit, and it reminds us that righteousness is not produced by us on a whim or even a choice of the moment. Rather, it grows over a period of time like fruit on a tree. Note this, it is peace that is planted and righteousness or right living is the result. Interesting, isn't it? I plant peace and righteousness is the result, is the fruit. Finally, James says, wisdom is sincere. He wrote, it shows no favoritism and is always sincere. This wisdom is free of hypocrisy or deception. It is honest and never pretends to be what it is not or sets out to gain something for its own end. Now Solomon, who asked God for wisdom as a young man at the height of his spiritual power, wrote, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Yet later in life, even though he had stood so tall and straight, had rotted from within. In the sunset years, he ceased to fear God and began to simply depend on his own human wisdom. He was no longer the world's wisest person. He became the world's most knowledgeable fool. So my challenge and invitation to you is this. How wise are you? Are you wise according to the world or according to God? Do you employ the world's wisdom or do you follow godly wisdom? I invite us just to take a few minutes now to ask God to help us inspect the fruit of our lives and seek him over the question of wisdom, and ask him for that gift to grow in you. Let's do that right now. Lord God, you know us better than we'll ever know ourselves. We pray, and I pray, for each one here today, that you would place within our lives your kind of wisdom that will grow up within us, giving us confidence and understanding, perceptions and thoughts that will build relationship, build lives, honour people, give strength to those who are struggling, relief to those who live with pain, and lead the young to grow to be tall and honourable people with a foundation that is secured in you. And Lord, for many of us, we're kind of pushing on into the years of life. Help us to learn from Solomon, not turn away from dependency on you, become dependent on the knowledge we know and the guesses we make, but seek your heart and your face in all things. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who and through whom the Holy Spirit is imparted and poured in our lives as an act of the generosity of the Father. And that you, Holy Spirit, would cause us to be strengthened, and that the fruit of wisdom would grow in us with all gentleness and peace and mercy. We pray this in his name. Amen.